Gimel Tavis, Thursday the 25th of December, Dr. Sholem Springer. Yosef, what has he done for us lately?
Good morning to you all. So you've just heard the title, Yosef, what has he done for us lately? For those of us that are old enough, we know that's a quote, in a way, from somebody else, which I won't expand on. But Yosef occupies a very special position in our nation, over and above what the other Shvatim do. And we know that Yosef is featured in many of these Sedras, and in fact it spills over into Sefer Shmos in a particular way. The Ovos, of course, are those whose lives are described in Sefer Bereishis, their lives, their deaths, and exactly what happened to them. Their lives are completely contained in Sefer Bereishis. On the other hand, as the Ramban says, Shmos is Sefer Bonim, whereas Bereishis is Sefer Ovos, Shmos is Sefer Bonim. The only exception to this is Yosef himself, because the death of Yosef is mentioned in Parshas Vayechi at the end, and so therefore, in a sense, he also is part of Ovos. And on the other hand, the death of Yosef is mentioned at the beginning of Shmos, along with the other Shvatim, Vayomas Yosef, Choladayahu, and therefore he is in Sefer Bonim as well. So Yosef sort of spans both Sefer Ovos and Sefer Bonim. And the reason for that is, which we're going to show through the words of Rav Hutna in the Pachat Yitzchok, that in fact Yosef is, so to speak, an honorary Av. He has features of Ovos, which are terribly important to us. And the Maharal says that Yosef was sent to Mitzrayim, ki hikdim Yosef lovo ne Mitzrayim, mit neima alosoi, because he had something to offer, something very special to offer. And this Maila is concerned with the way Golos Mitzrayim would eventually unfold, and what Yosef did for us was extremely important for our nation. So we've established that Yosef spans the two, and in a sense, he is Ovos as well. Now, of course, the Ovos are the three Ovos, and the Mois, coming back much, much later, they are the Ovos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that is immutable. But the fact is that Yosef also contributes something to the making, formation, and structure of Klal Yisrael that is very important and is almost equivalent to what the Ovos did for us. There is a certain kiyum. Through Yosef, for example, all the Shvatim were considered the Bnei Rochel. That's through Yosef. He was ma'achid them into one nation in the sense that they all are Bnei Rochel. And then we see something else in Sefer Bereishis, and one of the Sedras gone by, says Azay. In Kapitel Lamed, it says, Vahi kashi yoldo Rochel is Yosef. When Rochel gave birth to Yosef, Vayoyme Yaakov el Lovon Shalcheni. Yaakov said to Lovon, now I'd like to go away. Now I'd like to be saved. Now, all of a sudden, Yaakov has the confidence that he is protected against Esau. So in other words, that protection against Esau is connected with Yosef. The birth of Yosef has now given Yaakov this strength. And in fact, the birth of Yosef now makes it that Yaakov has the Stonoi Sotnoi Shel Esau, and that's Yosef. In other words, he has a weapon in which he can do battle with Esau, and he is safe. Takat is a pasuk in Avadia, very well known. V'hoyo beis Yaakov Eish, beis Yosef Lehovo, beis Esau Lekash. That Yaakov has this weapon now in his hands, which is Yosef, that Yosef will protect him from the powers of Esau. And he explains it this way, that we have the fire, the Eish, which burns in a place, but the Eish cannot move. It burns and it warms if you're near to that fire. But if you take a torch, and that's what Lahava means, it's a torch, it's a flame that you take away from the fire, now this fire has got influence at a distance. You can take this torch to another place, and that means this torch has influence at a distance, whereas the fire only has influence and effect in place, in its place, as to where it is. And therefore Yosef, being this torch, and that means he can be carried to another place, it's the first mobile, if you like. Okay, it's our mobile flame, which is Yosef, and he now acts at a distance. He can bring the values, the koichos of Yaakov, to another place. So, the birth of Yosef ensures that Yaakov is safe, and therefore he wants to return. So, Yosef, therefore, can be described as the Hashlomo of Yosef. Being the son of Esav, he is the Hashlomo, sorry, of Yaakov. Or is the Hashlomo of Yaakov. And Rav Hutner explains the contributions of each of the figures that we've mentioned in the following way. What the others did was to give something to Klal Yisrael, whereby Klal Yisrael will have a certain safety, a certain character, a certain structure. And he explains it in the following way. That Avraham, what did he give to Klal Yisrael? What he gave was the fact that a person can be an ordinary person and then convert, become a Yid. And he describes this as Avraham is the Eshter Gevorona. The first one who became a Yid is Avraham Avinu. So that shows that the Jewish nation can be comprised of people who want to join us. But there's no guarantee that, you know, it's going to have any continuity. In fact, if we rely on those that want to join us, maybe that will be the fashion one day and be out of fashion the next day. So that is no guarantee of the longevity of the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael. So what do we have next? We have Yitzchak. Yitzchak shows us that you can be a Yid if you are born to a Yid. Not a guarantee, because of course Avraham Avinu had two children. Yishmael wasn't a Yid. But the point is, with the birth of Yitzchak, we have this guarantee, where we have this extra shlav, we have this extra piece in Klal Yisrael, that a person is born from Jewish parents, he can be a Yid. So he calls that the Eshter Geboyrna. So that's Rufutna's Eshter Geboyrna, that's Yitzchak. And he's Kodesh Mirechem, he's got various things, he's Nimel Lashmaina, various aspects to the fact that Yitzchak is the first Yid, the Geboyrna Yid, Nimel Lashmaina, and therefore that's very special in very many ways. So Yitzchak contributes quite a lot to Klal Yisrael, an enormous amount, something which is essential. So where does that leave Yaakov? Yaakov contributes something unique, which seems to give us the guarantee that Klal Yisrael is going to have a Kiyum. Yaakov is born, and Yaakov also contributes mitosoi shelema, which means that from now on we have a rule. The rule is, anyone who's born a Yid is automatically a Yid. And there's no leaving the Jewish nation. There's no exit permits, Jewish nation. Anybody who's born to Jewish parents is automatically a Yid for all time. And that seems to be the hashlama of the three Ovois, that they give Klal Yisrael this sense of kiyum, that people can join us, Kodesh Mirechem, and Yaakov is mitos shalemo, that everybody is a Yid who's born a Yid. And therefore we have seemingly some sort of guarantee. And Chazal say, Yisrael afal pisha chota Yisrael. A person who's born a Yid, even though he might drift away, the fact is that he remains a Yid for all time, Avapisha Chota, Yisrael, who yours remains a Yid, and therefore we seem to have some sort of guarantee that our nation will remain intact. So we have all of those aspects given to us by the contributions of the others. So seemingly we have everything we need. We've got this continuity. So what is missing? What is gone that might go wrong? And this is where we come to Yosef. It all appears very, very watertight, but there may be something missing. Now, the halacha is, we know, that habo al anochris vlodo kemoiso, that a person who assimilates, a person marries out, vlodo kemoiso, the vlad is not a Yid. Which means, conceptually, chas v'sholom, whether we may even have these sorts of thoughts, if all the men in the Jewish nation decided to marry out, there would be no Jewish nation. So there is still a tremendous vulnerability in our nation, despite what Avraham gave and Yitzchak gave and Yaakov gave. There is still this vulnerability that could result in absolute disaster. Habor anachris, Lodo Kamoso is a very dangerous situation. We could, in fact, destroy our nation by the wrong course. And here is where Yosef HaTzadik comes in, and here is where he adds his particular unique contribution. That we have the story of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar, and we are told by Yonos by Yetze Hachutzo that he ran out from that situation, he escaped from that situation, he did not allow himself to be seduced. And if you think that's easy to do, Chazal tell us enormous footage about the difficulty that Yosef had. Remember, this is a young boy of 17, maybe slightly older now, but he's 17. And he's far away from his land, far away from his country, far away from his parents and his brothers. Nobody's looking, nobody will know. And the fact is, he's terribly enticed, and the Chazal described that as well. How for a boy, a teenager, out there, such that there is this Matronusa, a story about a Matronusa, this noble Roman lady who confronts one of the Tanoim, and she says to him, "You think that we believe the stories in the Torah? The Torah covers up for its hearers. The Torah always covers it up. Take, for example, the story of Yosef HaTzadik. Do you think anyone can believe that a 17-year-old boy put in that situation is going to actually tear himself away and not do that sin? You know," she says, "it was the other way around. He chased her." That's what she suggests. And the Torah is covering her up by turning around the story as if she chased him. That's what she says. To which the Tana, we won't go through the riots now, it's a medrash, that the Tanakh gave lots and lots of riots where the Torah doesn't cover up at all. Yehuda, all the sins of our great people are always exposed in the Torah. The Torah never covers up anything, and the Torah tells it as it is in each case. The Torah tells us that was the story of Yosef, then that really was the story of Yosef, and the nisoyon that he had was tremendous, was unbelievable, and yet he managed it. But with that, he managed to give us something which is unique. He's in Mitzrayim, and of course we know, with hindsight, obviously we know, after all these years, that's where the Yidden were going to end up. And what he achieves there is something that stands with us and to us and for us forevermore in our nation. And he's given us a Shemira Ladoiris. And of course you might argue that in this day and age, I don't know, 80% or 90% of Yidden are marrying out. It's a terrible scourge and it's a terrible situation, but there'll always be a group, a caucus, a band of people that will remain faithful, such that we will never disappear as a nation, as we just heard from the previous speaker. We have various ways in which the Kayoma, the Kiyum of Klal Yisrael, is assured, and what Yosef did was unbelievable. And so therefore, Yosef, who brings the values of Yaakov all the way to Mitzrayim, despite the fact that he's so far away, despite the fact there's all that distance, blue water between them, not actually blue water, but a lot of land there between them, Yaakov, nevertheless, Yosef has transported all the values of Yaakov into Mitzrayim, such that he has created an enclave for himself, that he is going to remain in his situation of Kedusha. And therefore, the flame cannot be put out. That flame that Yosef brought, the Sotnoi Shel Esav and all the other influences that we have to fight, he contributed in a very major way to the structure of Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael's survival. And therefore, in a certain sense, of course, what Yosef contributes is similar to what the Obois contributed. The survival of Klal Yisrael makes Klal Yisrael indestructible. So we have other little inyonim and little diukim. For example, when Yaakov is giving Yosef the brachas at the end of Vayechi, Yaakov is described as Eben Yisrael. Zot Rashi, Eben Yisrael. What's this word, Eben? Eben is a combination word. It's a combo word. Eben, the Aleph base is Av, and the base Nun is Ben. So Yosef is Eben, Av, and Ben, once again. And therefore, we have lots of ways of showing that Yosef has this attribute of being an Av, as well as being a Ben, and that's his contribution. Now it doesn't stop there, because we have in our Sedra, this week in Vayigash, a very interesting place. And this place is Goshen. And there are many psukim. I'll read them through quickly, otherwise my time will run out. The psukim tell us that there's something very important about Geisha. So the first one is Shishi, there's Yehuda Sholach Lefonov, El Yosef, Lahoris Lefonov, Geishna. So Yaakov sends Yehuda, go prepare Geisha. Then psukim go on to tell us, Mataman Shemitna Hoyavadecha, Minu Reinu Vadato, Gamanaknu, Gamamsenu Babu, Teshu Beretz Geisha. So that you should live in Goshen. It was Yosef is telling, giving advice to the brothers, tell Paro that you are shepherds, and the Israel hate shepherds, and therefore they'll push you out somewhere, Goshen. So that you can get to Goshen, make sure you get there. So this Goshen place seems very important. Eretz Mitzrayim lefanecha, hi b'meitav oretz, hoshev esavicha v'esachecha, yeshu beretz Goshen. Third possible. And there's a fourth one as well, so this Goshen seems, v'yeshu v'esor beretz Mitzrayim v'eretz Goshen. So there's something very magical, very important about Goshen. What is the importance of Goshen, and how does it tie in with what we were talking about? Now, in fact, there is a medrash, in fact, not so much a medrash, but it's Pirkei Rabbi Loza, and it says as follows. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Ba'oisa halayla shenilkecha sora imenu. That night where Paroi took Sora Imenu, Oisa Halayla Pesach Hoyu. That night was Pesach. V'heili HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Paroi v'al Beis in the Goyim Gedolim. And Paroi, and Rabbi Yishlam brought upon Paroi all these terrible plagues. Lo'idia Shekenu Osid Lahakosis Mitzrayim in the Goyim Gedolim. As a sort of message. Paroi, these Nagoyim and others are going to visit you later on in your future history. Rabbi Shua ben Korchoime, the following, that Pare was so enamored of Sora, mea vosa oso Pare kosav lo, b'shtak suba kol mamayim. Pare wrote her a shtar, shak suba, and he gave over all his money. And called ben kesev, ben zov, ben avodim, ben karkois, the lot. He gave her everything. And then it says, v'kosav lo as eretz, Goshen la'achuzah. He gave her Eretz Goshen la'achuzah as a possession. Now it seems that the possession that he gave with Goshen was different from the possession that he gave her of the Kesev and Zor. Lefikach Yoshevu Yisrael be'Eretz Goshen shehi shel Sora imenu. And now we have the key to what we were talking about. Why was Klal Yisrael and why was Yaakov, why was Yosef so keen that it should be Goshen and Dafka Goshen where Klal Yisrael come to Mitzrayim and live there, because this, so to speak, is our embassy. This is our land. This would belong to Sora Imenu. And it was given to her as an achuzah, not just giving over like the Kesem Zor, which was just given as a present. Achuzah means you can pass it on to your children and grandchildren, etc. It's an achuzah adoilon. So, you know, like the American embassy in Grosvenor Square is a piece of America. It's actually given over to the country. So similarly, this particular place, Goshen, was in fact our land. This was Ashtik Eretz Yisrael, and someone pointed out to me that in fact there is a border town in Eretz Yisrael called Goshen as well. It's in Eretz Yisrael, according to some opinions, Goshen was transported to Eretz Yisrael. It's ours. It's a Yerusha from Sora Imenu. So we have all these different ideas. Now the Kleokov says, why Goshen? The Kleokov says, in order that we should be removed to some extent from the issue of Mitzrayim, we shouldn't come under the influences, and so the Klal Yisrael should be in one place, but there's more to it than that. And the following we know is the case, that Paroi so much wanted to entice her, that he gave her all his gold and silver, all his possessions, and Goshen as an achuzah, because he wanted Sora to be Makar, he wanted to be Makar of Sora to him. And especially the fact that he gave Goshen as an achuzah, the achuzah was going to symbolize an everlasting sort of trice between Paroi and Sora. It's going to be there forever. It's going to be achuzah, not just a sort of gift which you can walk away, but this is something that's going to symbolize our everlasting connection. What did Sora do? She rejected it all. Sora did not fall for any of the blandishments of Paroi. Not for the gold, not for the silver, and neither did she fall for this Goshen, which was given to her as an achuzah. If we put our minds to it, and this piece is taken from the writings of Mimar Makim, which is based on Shiurim of Rav Moshe Shapira Shlita, and he says the following, gives the following idea and the following thought. The fact that Sorov rejected all Paroi's attempts to try and tempt her into having an association with him, and especially the Ahuzov bit, which he gave her so that it should be lasting, the fact that she rejected it means that now this place encapsulates an idea of rejection from the Goyim. Where it was meant to be a hiskarabus before, now that she has rejected it, it means that the same place is a symbol of rejection. And therefore, Goyshin was very important. Goyshin therefore protected us, because that is the place, that is the mokum, that is the space carved out for Klal Yisrael, where they will be able to reject Mitzrayim and their values. Similar to what Yosef did in one way, Sora Imbeinu did in another way. So it now symbolizes the total rejection of the Goyim. And that's therefore the Akshonus of Soroa creates Hisrachtus, where Paroi wanted to try and attempt a Kirva. On the contrary, what that now does, it creates Hisrachtus. And now we have a deep understanding of the Chazal. Lefikach, they say, we just read it before. Lefikach, Yoshvi Yisrael, Begoyshen. Therefore, that's the reason. In other words, we've got a reason why the Dafka wanted Goshen, why all these took him to aim for Goshen, was because this was a very special place, and this was our protection, given to us by Sora Imenu. So we see that the others, the Emois and Yosef, you know, joining onto them, all contribute something to Klal Yisrael, which is in the nature of the importance of the Kiyum. And the point that I should have said when we talked about Yosef is the idea of why we Dafka want Yosef to be an Av, is because then we can invoke the principle of Masa Ovasim Labonim. Masa Ovasim Labonim means that whatever happened to the Ovois would happen to the Bonim. And therefore whatever did not happen to the Ovois will not happen to the Bonim. And in the same way as Yosef resisted that terrible temptation, and remember that Klal Yisrael are going into a place where the temptation is enormous, the difficulty is enormous to keep the nation pure. If the Mitzrayim had Shlita, if the Mitzrayim had control over their bodies, surely they had control over everything, and literally could have marched into a tent and done anything you like. And nevertheless, Klal Yisrael made every effort to ensure that the nation was pure and the posuk is made, Haruveni, Hashimoni, etc., that the Rabbi Shalom is made, that no such thing ever happened except in one case where the Torah specifies this one case, Tolemus Bas Divri, otherwise Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim absolutely pure. Whose opus was that? That was Yosef HaTzadik. He laid the foundation stone for this purity and this strength and the Akshonas, both with Sora and with Yosef, such that we can resist anything coming from the outside. We have the strength to ensure that Klal Yisrael will always survive, not just survive, but survive in its pure state as an Am Kodesh. And that's the important thing. One more little reference I'll make to this idea of space, and perhaps we'll come back to this in this time. And that is that, and this is Reb Dessler. Reb Dessler says that in the Purim story, we have Mordechai behaving in such a manner that he is antagonizing Ham. All the Mefarshim ask about it, and there are lots of very nice pshatim as to why Mordechai took it upon himself to antagonize Haman in the way that he did. The fact is that Mordechai came from the tribe of Binyamin. And Binyamin has a special position in Klal Yisrael among the Shvatim. Binyamin has the position that he never bowed down to Arosha. He wasn't there when everybody was bowing down to Esau, and therefore Binyamin never bowed to Arosha. Therefore, that is the situation of Binyamin. Binyamin does not bow to any other influence. Binyamin remains pure, and that's why the base of Migdosh was built in his chelek. Yeah, the chelek has to be absolutely pure. And Rav Dessler explains it like this, and he gives us some certain musa about this idea. He explains the following. That when it comes to Torah mitzvahs, you know, we've got to do what we've got to do, sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes the Satan is very, very strong, the Yetzer Hara is very strong, wants us to drag away from Torah and mitzvahs, and we can't do everything that we want to do. And Chazal gives us a piece of advice. If the Satan gets to you, then Moshechehu in the base of Medrash, take you and the Satan and everyone, go in the base of Medrash, you go in the base of Medrash. Yeah, get in the base of Medrash and start learning. That's with Torah and mitzvahs. Sometimes we've got to make compromises. Sometimes we've got to accommodate the Yetzer Hara, we've got to accommodate the Satan, as long as, and that's what Chazal's saying, do it shloi lishmo, it's fine, do it shloi lishmo. Because mitoy shaloi lishma, you really want to do it lishma. And mitoy shaloi lishma, there is a bit of lishma in there already, because that's what you want to do. Mitoy shaloi lishma, bar lishma, you'll get there eventually. Nitten sotten with the yitzahara with it all, you'll get there eventually, you'll do it lishma. However, Zohar Dessler, when it comes to hashkofa, when it comes to your ideas about your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, your relationship with the Torah, your relationship with Yiddishkeit, under those circumstances, when Tuba Ashkofa, there are no compromises you can make. There is no accord that you can make with the Sotan, with the Eitzara. A Ashkofa has to be pure. And therefore, the base of Mikdash was built dafka in the space, so to speak, made by Binyamin, because the base of Mikdash has got to be a place where the Shechina can be, and there are no compromises at all. In general life, possibly compromises sometimes. If it's worthwhile doing that, then we should go ahead and do that. Mitoy shaloi lishma bar lishma. When it comes to hashkofa, when it comes to our relationship with our religion, with our understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, understanding of the Torah, and generally our behavior as Yidden, the way we think, that's different, and therefore it must be very, very pure. So Binyamin also makes this, so to speak, this space. Just going back for a moment, in a couple of minutes that I have left, about the idea of Goyshen, and what we read from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that we have this word with Gimel Shein in it. There are quite a few words with Gimel Shein. And what Rav Moshe Shapiro suggests is the following. He says that any word with Gimel Shein has a special position. On the one hand, like in this week's Seder, Vayigash Eilev Yehuda, it creates and wants to create a Kirva. On the other hand, other members of Chazal say that, in fact, Yehuda was going out to war. Yeah, he's going out to battle. You have a look at the first Rashi in this week's Seder. Yeah, the Rashi brings a number of pshatim. Some of them seem, the first one seems very friendly, Yolak HaMelech, and the others seem very antagonistic. So any word with the letters Gil or Shein in its root have a dual expression. It can either mean Kirgo, and it can, or it can mean Estrachtus. And he says the following. Take the word which is best gives you an example of a word with Gimel Shein in it, it's Gesher. Gesher is a bridge. What a bridge does, it connects two sides of the river or the road or whatever. It connects two sides. Nevertheless, despite the fact that it connects things, it also ensures that each side keeps its own identity, retains its identity. So if one side is one way and one side is the other way, it retains the identity, but you can get from one to the other. Pilegesh, for example, a concubine. On the one hand, she's connected by Yishus, and on the other hand, she's not connected by Nisuin. She retains identity, and yet she's connected. So that's the point here as well, that this Goyshen, we have to live in Goyz. Yeah, the other place we have to be is we have to be connected to the Mitzrayim. We're in this Goyshen, and on the one hand, what it does, it connects us with the Mitzrayim, because that's where we've got to be and do our work and do our avdus. On the other hand, it ensures that we retain our identity as Eden, and then in fact, that's exactly what happens. So may it be that we should always have the schus ovois in mohois, and our grapes of the past, especially if we have some sort of explanation and understanding and a little bit of a look at what they did and what they achieved and what they gave us, that Klal Yisrael will be the oil mill lomim, bias, goel sedet, bim here remain, and we will carry on and do whatever it takes for as long as it takes, I'd be as